Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater King's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Fugan, Gay, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Neutron tomorrow as the After Midnight Bomber. And on Thursday, dig into the strange world. Wow. World of Strange Magic. Boy, I got that one off wrong. Friday, the split between Crawling Into Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you how to be part sinner, part saint. And then on Monday mornings, join Victoria Frost with Hearts of L&T or Black Lace Diaries. Now, these shows are designed to give you color outside the lines with rich, raw emotions tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thoughts with pen and voice. So, pull up a chair, relax, and open your minds. I'm Rex, my co-host Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Rex. How's it going?
Tongue-tied.
Yeah, but you still manage to say more than the rest of us, even when your tongue's tied up. So, well, you picked out a great topic for tonight, Oscar Wilde quotes, quite a few people, and definitely looking forward to the poetry tonight.
Yes, yeah, because Oscar kept popping up.
Yes, yes. Between Frank and his Oscar Wilde rights, and that kept just popping. He kept coming up in conversation on different shows, and yeah, it just seems like sometimes fate is leading you in the right direction to what your prompt is supposed to be for that week. So very cool. Very cool. He certainly was an intriguing figure.
That's one way of putting it.
Oh, I don't know big fancy words like you do, Rex. You'll have to put it the way you put it.
Well, he was full of pomp and ceremony. He was considered a fop, amongst other things, and a lot of people couldn't stand the hell out of him.
That, you know, honestly, that doesn't surprise me based on some of his quotes. He seems like he was a little bit full of himself. But, you know, I guess when you're that talented, you have a little bit of a right to be full of yourself. And, you know, what the heck? What the heck? But, like you said, pomp and circumstance. Didn't he actually have a quote about something about preferring his own company, or is that somebody else I'm thinking of? Could actually
be
just me.
There was a ton of stuff to wade through and look at the quotes. But, Victorian London wasn't ready for him and his asceticism because, men wore black and white. Color was not an option for men. It was considered ladyish. But
isn't that interesting
color?
How it's, yeah, and it's so interesting to me the way that works, you know, how nowadays you don't even think of anything of men wearing bright colors, but, you know, to be back then, it was something different, you know, so it's always interesting to learn stuff like that, and oh, very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring on our guest and we'll go ahead and get this ball rolling. Oh, we got two guests. The first one, I'm pretty sure I know who it is, so I'll bring her on first. And hello, Fallon. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Hi, I'm glad to be here, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
And making it.
Then we have area code 419. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This would be Kel.
Hi, Kel.
Hello, Kel.
Welcome.
Hi.
Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Felon, did you write for the contest or the show? I didn't remember seeing the name on one. So, oh, there we go. There we go. All right. And so I'll go ahead. You ready to get the ball rolling, Rex?
Shona.
Shona.
Awesome.
Sorry about that. Right. I had to hang up. I've been having a leak in my roof, so it's been taking me a hot minute to get this fixed. And thank God it's fixed, and I'm not coming in the house.
No problem.
Yeah,
I honestly figured it had something to do with the grandbaby, but
No problem.
Sometimes life happens.
Pressure buildup in the pipe. But yeah. All right. This is called Saint Sin, and it's off of the prompt. The only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And it goes like this. Haven's chime announces another spirit is welcome inside, greeted by lost loved ones in pressed linen white. Holiness feathers one's flight, guided with a halo praising bright. Striking the mission bell from depths of eagles molten hell, burn lifts off the first inhale, breathing fire as life proved you already failed. Futures climb as the sinner's jagged rage, as a saint's past turns the page. Doesn't matter right or wrong, they all at one time take center stage. End point.
Great read, Fel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to kick it.
Speaking of kicking it, look who kicked down the door just 4 minutes ago. Dang, always impressed, Felon. Heaven's chime announces another spirit is welcome inside, greeted by just lost loved ones. Striking the mission bell from depths of evil's molten hell, burn lifts of first inhale, dignifies life proved you already failed. You know, I like that life proved you already failed. And the reason I like that is because it gives the idea that we all fail at one time or another, and we can all kind of just rise above those failings. We sink down into the pit, but we don't have to stay in the pit. I also like the use of chimes. You know, like to me, the sound of like wind chimes is so beautiful and meditative that it just makes for an attention-grabbing first line. And doesn't matter right or wrong, they all at one time take center stage. We're all the sinner, we're all the saint, but we're not. And it's constantly going back and forth. And I like the fact that you brought in the stage one, because if I remember right, there was something about the stage, like, you know, that in one of the other quotes. So I thought that was a nice little nod to the other quote, too. So very cool there. Excellent brevity and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you. You nailed it.
Oh, and Kel, how about you?
Oh, I liked it. I can't find anything in particular that burst out. It's just the whole thing just works together. Sinners and saints, they're all part of life, you know?
Absolutely.
Sorry, I've got a pop-up. But yeah, everyone has their failures. Everyone makes mistakes. And we can't really, personally, I don't think we can judge whose mistake are sins, or, you know, whoever cast the first stone, so to speak. You know, it's just everyone has their own issues that they have to deal with, regardless. So very, very well done, and I liked all the metaphors, and it was beautiful, Felon. Very beautiful.
Thank you so much. Glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kel. All right, Miss Felon, you got some nice sound in here twice, the chime and the mission bell. There's definitely a nice ring between the two. One heralds the incoming with a pleasant music upon entry. The other one sounds the depths of despair one actually dives into with the mission bell. It's like the last hole. And what everybody else, what everybody seems to forget when it comes to saints, and they weren't always saints. They were once mortals, which makes them sinners as well.
Absolutely.
And,
we're all sinners in the same
and before they got elevated, they also had that center stage of life where every other sinner was met on the ground at one point in time. So I like that thought. There isn't real no difference as you make it out. It's a matter of perspective.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, nicely done.
Thank
so
you.
Quickly. Now only 8 minutes to go.
I had to add something, so yeah.
Well, I'm glad you come aboard.
Me too.
All right, Pam. What's our next thing to play with?
All right, Kel, your poem is up. Go ahead. Give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Tempt me. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. I can resist everything but temptation. Spontaneity is a flame. Impetuous has no shame. Easily tempted by chance, offer me a merry dance. I'll give you my all or nothing to be your one and only. I'd give up almost anything just to be your everything. Your gravelly voice entices. My form shivers with desire. Rivulets of fire overwhelm. Temptation I refuse to resist. Zeus, under moon glow, I blindly follow your song. Ensnare me in your velvet arms. Dance to my Sarian's charms. Bewitchment in every kiss. Desire's potion. Course is rich. Body entwined with yours. Can't, won't fight your allure. Maybe too good, too true. I'll take what I can from you. It is rudely cruel, too long alone. Tempt me, lover, I insist. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Thank you very much. And, Belle, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is a really great rendition of Oscar Wilde. I think you really tapped into his way of putting things in the way he – his cadence runs and the way that the nice little short, tight lines. And I think you really captured that really well. I think that you also, this is like a classic piece. It's something that's going to be timeless that you can read from here and you can read from 1,000 years from now and it's still going to be enjoyed and appreciated. I think you touched it. I think you really tapped into Oscar Wilde like perfectly. Great job.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to say, Phil. Thanks. Pam?
Yeah, this is wonderful. I have to agree with Phil in that it has nice, tight lines, some great rhyme and flow. I like how insistent and persistent you are, what it is that you want. You know, temptation I refuse to resist, dance to my siren's charms, bewitchment in every kiss, desire's potion, course is rich. I like those lines. That is just, and then of course at the end, it is rudely cruel too long alone. Tempt me, lover, I insist. And I like that you add I insist at the end. Like there is no arguing. That is the end. You will get what you want. I like the idea that the voice you put in this. It is the voice of somebody that knows what they want and that they aren't ashamed of who they are. It just really is wonderfully entertaining and very well written.
Thank you, Pam.
Like you said, Pam. Thank you. I like how you taken that opening quote and you dropped it all in that first stanza with the thought you generated. Spontaneity is a flame. Impetuosity has no shame. Easily tempted by chance. Offer me a merry dance. There's that nice transition of thought that actually you could explain that those first four lines as Oscar himself. And then the temptation comes all the way through this. I'll give you my all or nothing. Your gravity voice entices, seduced on the moon glow, bewitchment in every kiss. There's that nice easy flow of hitting on those notes that that lead on down to the that last stanza. Maybe too good, too true. I'll take what I can from you. It is rudely cruel, too long alone. Tempt me, lover. I insist. There's that that note of it's a plea rather than a beg. It's come on, what are you waiting for? You know you got the goods, and you know I'm here for you. So let's go dance the night away.
Thank you, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Pam, where would you like to go next? Oh.
All right. Up next is Blame It on Caligula by Eric Fenton, and we do have a SoundCloud for that, so I'll mosey on over and push play.
Blame it on Caligula, the law, and hey, Judd, what a roller coaster ride. Let the bullets run, the maze stakes are high. Mersey with Bosey, my lord, my lady, parody of wit, oxymorons march, lisp of high society's stiff upper lips, fry Stephen's door, stoke the boilers, insert wit's rudder, screw the fun spoilers, play right or left. Beware a woman scorned, thou shalt not indulge, divulge such despicable details. Smite society's bill of rights, uphold and keep faith, dear boy. Drummer boy conundrums, papa was a horse trainer, riding crops and bridle bits, horseshoe heart disobeyed, wild wit ignites its flames. Blame it on Caligula, bite the bullet, run the maze, make the stakes even higher. Mistakes are better than no takes or trap. Skeets, skittles, and sentences imprison debonair deconstruction of society. Smart aleck shape-shifted pragmatics, rebel with a cause attracted, freedom of expression, desirable aphrodisiac, opium, opiates, and oratory. Let dicks and dons be bygones. Crush the rose, hush the river reed. Thou shalt not seed minds with lustful thoughts. Treadmill step safer. Predictability leads to stability. The love that shall not be named, categorically unacceptable. Hush, hush. Observe and conserve. Toe, hook, line, and sinker. Sharp thinkers turn to ruffle manicured tail feathers. Stradivarius peacock panache strikes discordant chords. Thou shalt never place high society under crossfire.
Oh, great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. That's greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you get the first dibs on this one.
You know, I just had a feeling. I'm like, that man is going to call on me first for this one. All right. So, well, as always, that was a wonderful recording, as you said, greatly appreciated. I like Fry Stevens' door sticks the boilers. I assume that's a backward for Stephen Fry, the English comedian who does a lot of political comedy. And I think putting Fry first is maybe a reference to like a friar or a holy man or something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like by putting a comedian's name there that it must have to do with the satire of ancient Rome and how it often made fun of political figures. So that caught my eye. I also like the Hey Jude reference for That was really cool. Mosey with Bozy, My Lord, My Lady, parody of Wit, Oxymoron's March. Yeah, definitely a lot there about making fun. Blame It on Caligula. Now, that's funny because I watched a video about Caligula. And they're actually, a lot of the stuff that he did do, but there's also ideas that some of the stuff was rumors or exaggerated, and it's hard to, you know, separate fact from fiction. So I think, to me, although I do know that there was obviously a lot that he did do that caused quite a ruckus, I think that the idea of blame it on Caligula comes across as finding a scapegoat. And what better scapegoat than somebody who's already sinning in public eye, which, you know, I think also makes a good connection with Oscar Wilde. And then Opium, Opiates, and Oratory, Let Digs and Duns Be Bygones, Crush the Rose, Hush the River Reed, Thou Shalt Not See Minds with Lustful Thoughts. That's, you know, obviously the whole idea of people having their own idea of what's right and wrong. And, you know, there's a real sense of, like I said, a scapegoat, real sense of a judgment, and just an intriguing write all the way through. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Stella, how about you? What do you think?
I agree with her on the blame it on Caligula. I mean, I think that I think you nailed that one, Pam. And what really spoke to me was this one, of course. Beware a woman's scorn. Thou shalt not indulge, divulge such despicable details. Smite society, Bill's rights, uphold and keep faith, dear boy. In other words, it's, you know, you better shut up because that woman's scorn is going to tear you up to pieces. It's what we can't not. And I think he nailed the prompt very well. Where is it at? I cannot resist everything except temptation, and that the temptation to just keep going at her and just natting. You know, I think that it's kind of like biting, but yet he still cannot, you know, fight that temptation. He can't resist it. And I think there's every stanza, to me, could just stand on its own, really. It's just amazing writing. The alliteration is off the chain and on point, and so is the cadence. So excellent job there, Eric, and I love the read. I wish I could talk like that.
Nice to see you, though. Thank you. Kelly, how about you?
It was very interesting how he put so much into all of this. As for, you know, the prompt temptation, I don't know what Caligula is. I've never even heard of it. So sorry for him. I don't know. But I really like all of it. The play on words, you know, the way you turn things around, you know, just really fascinates me. The metaphors, just really, really very well done. And the old language, I have a hard time with that, you know, getting into the old language and using it throughout a piece. And he manages to do that very well. I like that. Sharp thinkers tend to ruffle manicured tail feathers. Stradivarius peacock finesse strikes discordant chords. That was just really, really awesome lines right there. Just well done. Beautiful.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Kel.
And comment.
This was thoroughly enjoyable. I like the title, Blame It on Caligula. That's just a nice reference to how debauched Caligula was way back in the day and all the tinkerings and stuff that he got into. So that's a nice opening thought. Plus, he managed to put it in the poem. So I like the draw on the first line, the law, and hey, Jude. What a roller coaster ride. Bite the bullet, run the nace, stakes are high. Yes, that is definitely a great starting point. Then that thought with the second one, Mosey with Bozy, My Lord, My Lady, parody with Oxymoron's March. Lisp of high society, stiff upper lips. boy, there's a poke a bit of fun at, yeah, you might be looking down your nose at me, but I know those of you who indulge on the higher end of society, and you might not list, but I still know who you is. The thought with Stephen Fry, but the next one down was really good. That hits on the fact that Fry is also gay, married to Elliot Spencer. So you run a little bit of wit in that stoke the boilers, insert wit's brother, screw the fun spoilers, play right or left. Again, playing with the angles. What else was there? Down the last couple, he hits on the thought of the end. Observe and conserve toe line, a toe hook, line and sinker, sharp fingers tend to ruffle manicured tail feathers. Again, the points at the upper echelons. And then the Stradivarius peacock panache strikes discordant chords. That's a nice colorful description of Oscar himself. Thou shalt never place high society under crossfire. And there's the bite that goes with what went down with Oscar. You don't put high society on such a template as to expose their peccadilloes. You can have your own, but you're not supposed to be that out and about with it that you make it known that some of us walk along your lines as well, because you end up getting punished and you pay for it. And he did. He ended up in France and died a broken man, penniless at 46. Unfortunately. All right, Pam. Coming back to your way.
Okay, Rex. I'm going to put it back on you because I need you to grab a poem that you can read. I say just grab Damn It Dave's poem at the top of the topic board and give that a read.
Oh,
I love that name.
And by the way, great observations there with the with Eric's poem, Rex. I like that you brought up that people in higher society did not like to be pointed, have the flaws, or not flaws, but, you know, what the vices they had pointed out.
Oh, they didn't, because it meant jail, because it was on the books as buggery is illegal, and we don't do that sort of thing here. Yeah, we do it behind closed doors, but nah, we don't do that here. All right, Dramedy by Damn It Dave. Though all the world may be a stage, I do not like the play. The dramedy is badly cast, the writers tend to stray. The actors merely play their parts, not knowing what they mean. Director's head is in the clouds, he will not intervene. Producers all are wealthy, and it's all a power play. As long as they make money, they are good with closing day. The crowd is always told to clap, though they don't understand that they're a captive audience. The critics all have panned, the writers and performers and the fool director too. But no one has the guts to tell the crowd to hiss and boo. Though all the world may be a stage, the only dividends I see from this production is someday the drama ends. And boom. All right, Bill. you got the lead on this.
Boy, I like his name. Damn it, Dave. Damn it, Dave. I could do that all day long. Damn it, Dave. I mean, I think, and this is that one I think Pam was talking about earlier with mine. The world is a stage, but the play is badly cast. And I think that I really like this because people just bring their drama, and it is sort of a choreograph or a production line. You know, when the drama, and because you've always got everybody playing into the shit, no matter what it is, people will just keep, they'll jump right on board and jump right on in thinking they're going to play a party. Really, they're just a prop themselves. So I think this is just, this is written very well, and I think it's just very witty and clever, and I enjoyed it a great deal. So good job, Damn It Dave.
Thank you, Kel. And Kel, how about you?
Oh, it was fun. It was definitely a very fun poem. I like the way he set the drama to a stage, and nobody knows what the hell's going on, which is pretty much the way it is in life. You know, when someone tries to tell you what the heck's going on with them, and you're trying to keep up, you know, just why do I even care? I've got my own problems to deal with, you know, and it's just, it gets annoying after a bit. And I try doing my best to avoid drama. Oh, God. It's really awesome. The crowd is always told to clap, so they don't understand that they're a captive audience. The critics all have to end. That's just it. Yeah. Brings it all home, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Very good. Very, very good. I loved it. It was a fun read.
Thank you, Cal. All right, Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, you did an excellent read of that. I have to agree that this is definitely, it's full of wit. It has great rhyme and flow. I like when people use, like, humorous elements to help, you know, make a serious point. And I really like that the whole idea to me was, you know, that we think everybody else is being played a fool, but oftentimes we don't realize when we're being played for a fool. And, you know, it was a really great take on the prompt. Obviously, I'm not looking at the word, so it's not easy for me to comment. But I just like the idea that all of a sudden realizing that you're as much imprisoned within the captive audience as the person on your left and the person on your right. So excellent writing, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. This was well written and had that nice ease of flow to it that made each stanza work all the way down. But I enjoyed it for the simple fact this is a nicely written piece that works well to today's politics and how everything is the way it is. Producers, actors, the directors, the moneymakers. It's kind of laid out all in here, and it works quite well with a little bit of a comedy they've thrown in to make it a little bit more palatable so you can actually laugh and smile at the damn situation. And like it says, I see from this production is someday the trauma ends. Hopefully. Well, damn it, Dave. Hopefully, yes. There's not too many more laughs left in this one.
I'm on mute, that's why.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm enjoying the show.
Me too. It's really great work tonight.
Oh, yes. All right, Pam.
Definitely.
Oh, you want me to do it again?
All right. Again, yeah, go ahead and grab one. Go ahead and grab one for Felon to read.
Oh.
That means I'm a long one.
and great show tonight, Rex. Felon wants you to save the long ones for yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, here we go. Answered Prayers by Vicky Moore.
Okay, excellent, excellent. This is by Vicky Moore called Answered Prayers. The gods do answer prayers, but not in the way you wish. Left to their own devices, trusting them to bless you. They can be kind indeed, but asking for your own way, those prayers are answered, just not in the way you meant. I prayed to find my true love, and I love him with all my heart. While he beat and blacked me blue, I prayed for my best friend, asking that her pain disappear, as she committed suicide. Prayers were sent for a child's mother, asking that she live after an accident. She lived, but as a vegetable. Prayers are a good life were sent, and God, and a good life it was, all 5 years of it. The gods are capricious, I'm sorry, indeed, but will always answer prayers. End point. Oh, Lord, that's dark.
Yeah.
You're just fine, Phil. Thank you very much. Pam, you get to go first.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that one kind of blindsides you a bit because
I know.
It doesn't, the first couple lines really don't give you a lot of clues as to how dark it's going to go. It does make a really good point, though, that, you know, sometimes we don't get what we the answers we want, and you know that the idea that it rains on everybody, the you know, the good, the bad, everybody, you know, life like that happens. That wow, I mean, you know, just it really hits hard to know that, you know, someone prays for love and they get abused. Someone prays for someone to live and they live as a vegetable. You know, when my mom was in a coma, my prayer was like, either please let her go or let her come back completely healed. The whole idea of someone living as a vegetable still, oh my God, I just really, you can't imagine somebody not being the same vibrant person they were before. But I like how, I'll skip past. But I like how even with all this horrible stuff that's happening, like she's mentioning in this prayer in people's lives, in this poem, there's still a sense of faith and hope. And I think that that's a beautiful and important thing when you can continue to have faith and hope no matter how much hard knocks life hands out to you. So excellent write and very well read, Fallon.
Thanks, Pam.
Nice to say, Pam. And Kel, how about you? What do you think?
I thought it was very deep and dark as well. You know, it starts out, like Pam said, it starts out really beautifully. You know, the gods do answer prayers, but not in the way you wish. Left to their own devices, trusting them to bless you. They can be kind indeed, but ask you for your own way. Those prayers are answered, just not in the way you meant. It's just, wow. It's very impressive writing. You know, you try to pray for what you think you want, but what you want isn't always necessarily what you're going to get. It depends on how you pray, you know, and what you're asking for. Wow. Very, very well done and intense, so intense. It's
absolutely
sad.
Thank you, Kel.
Yes.
All right, Phil, you got to read it. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was like walking down the beach and, you step into this hole, or you think this like a minimal hole, and you just fall all the way in, because that's what it did to me. It just drug me in. I was like, whoa, what just happened here? Because, like Pam said, it just takes a sudden turn, and it did, and it's like, and as Pam said, it does give this hope, and, you know, on your faith. It shows that you have to have faith, even though it's not – even though it's not what you asked for, at least your prayers were answered. There is a God, or there is a person that's answering the prayers that's not answering. You're not getting the way you want, but they are getting answered. And you have to, what they say, you have to be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you just might get it, but not in the way you want it. So I think this is very clever and intellect right, and I think it's dark. It's something a little bit along the line of Oscar Wilde, and I think they touched it well. It's just, wow, they hit me kind of hard there at the end, so that's why I couldn't hardly talk. It's like, whoa. So, excellent job.
Very nicely said, Val. Thanks. I did like the thought she brought to this. She took when the gods wish to punish us, they answer our prayers. And she could have left it with just that first stanza, because that hit it all. The gods do answer prayers, but not in the way you wish. Left to their own devices, trusting in the blessing, they can be kind indeed. But asking for your own way, those prayers are answered. That's just not in the way you meant. And that stands as a nice piece itself, but she did indulge with the dark angle of things, so you can actually see, because it kind of points that notion of how people pray for all manner of things that they don't really need, but when they do pray for something that they actually want instead of need, like her best friend who then committed suicide, or the child's mother who ended up being a vegetable, you end up with the back end of it. It's like that thing with the witches, whatever spell you cast out, it comes back threefold. So and never in the way you expect it to come back to you. And that's the general thought. And the last two lines were a nice perfect fit for that. The gods are capricious indeed, but they always answer prayers. Nicely done, Vicki. Most unexpected piece.
Well said there, Rex.
All right. Where should we go next?
Well, go ahead and grab Peter Salwey's poem for you to read, and then plan on grabbing something for Kel to read after that one.
All right. Peter, that'll be another interesting piece.
He usually is.
I can't wait.
All right, where is he? All right,
he
Peter.
Was near the top.
You know, man, they don't like direction.
Wow. I'll take directions. I'm not afraid if I'm lost.
Don't follow me because I'll get you lost.
All right, here we go. Art and Murder after Oscar by Peter Solway. Wallpaper to contest jest with wit, mortal facts. To kill an afternoon, strangle it with a convoluted novel, prosaic prose, stand, verse, ballad factual, shotgun for the temple. Coroner's haiku lies very still, all about postman fictional. A murderer serial start this afternoon, time off for good behavior. The future, always worth joking with rocks to break, guards to please, and a saga of a letter deliverer, selecting addresses to remember, facture death returned after dark. Like an Aztec priest, virgin heart and hand still beating, wet with plot. Does his nocturnal rounds, every bloated moon, and an afternoon of immortal reflections? Unchained from immoral hymn, though delivery's worth a listen, tell boozy buzz, bat the last with giant penis, road base can wait, bard of Reading at her majesty's leisure. Composing sonnet of a serial murderer, whether or not a comma, dagger to insert? Scrap that Aztec priest, Bozzy, I reckon, another port this time killing afternoon, art to murder the wallpaper boredom, of believing in television, lawn attending, poodle walking. Collecting foul droppings, rock cracking, good for something, tales of postman, Oscar in prison, sardines in can. Latest on grapevine, Atlantic revenge, postman choked whilst washing by brother of one of his victims. Oh, my handsome reader, leaning silk chair, eternal emperor, art to a list, a horrible lot. Talking like poor dead Arthur, a ghost to haunt forever, dungeons of London. A good line. Last a Colombian afternoon, cocaine and can of wine. Oh, bossy, my drunk muse of excess, rats to nibble your shoes, sozzled on prosody, queen knighted. Kneeling expectations to abuse, dramatic perversity, art such a crime and scene. Symbolist self-indulgence, lone thought at its worst, to murder this sicker afternoon, comma or not, cow and dog and moon. And poem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to dive in there, Fel?
Oh, absolutely. I think he is a genius because I love the way that he structured this, because basically it's talking about the formals of grammar and punctuation and how you can just murder some shit when you write it. To me, that's what, you know, in the way it's all about delivery. It's all about the way you deliver your message. And you can fuck it up is what he's trying to say, or either, because where is that one that's a large penis? Or I was like, wow, that hit it home. I mean, really, because where did it go? There's so many lines in here that's just, it's just superb. Or the other one was, where'd it go? Shoot fire. Okay, the coroner's haiku lies very still, all about postman's fictional. And I like that because it came right off the thing. It says, battle factual, shotgun to the temple. Because can you imagine being a shotgun to the temple? There's nothing left above. It's just gone. So I think he really outdid himself on this one. This is just absolutely amazing writing, and I love the metaphors and the way that he structured this, basically saying the grammar and punctuation can murder shit, murder your whole damn writing if you don't watch it. And so, excellent, excellent, excellent.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ellen. All right, Pam.
Oh, shit. Come on, Rex. The only two words I understood were large and penis.
Well, that did come with a couple of words before it, like, tell Boozy Bows about the latch with a giant penis. That was a nice illusion right there.
Absolutely. No, I have no doubt, you know, it's wonderfully intelligent, got his whole brand of, like, that gritty humor that he has, that kind of dry, almost, like, humor. And, you know, he's always makes a wonderful point with his poetry, and I do like delving into it. But it's not the kind of poetry I can even hope to make a comment on with being blind. So, sorry.
Okay, no problem. Maybe I can illuminate in a minute. Kel, how about you?
Awesome.
What do you think?
Oh, I'm kind of with Pam here. It's all really convoluted. To Kill an Afternoon, Strangle It with a convoluted novel or a poem, prosaic prose, stanza verse, ballad, factual. And wow, it's just all so, there's just so much to it. Not so much word-wise, yeah, there's a lot of words, but there's a lot of thought and, there's just a lot to it. I mean, it's amazing work. It really is. It's just amazing. But it takes me an hour or so to go through it and just really, you know, open it all up. It's just amazing.
Thank you, Kel. I think I should have started with the quote he took. It was my favorite one, the last one. As creative acts, there is no significant difference between art and murder. So Fell hit on a couple of notes of that and did real good with it. But there's some really wonderful stuff in here that really kind of stands out. To Kill an Afternoon, Strangle It with a convoluted novel, prosaic prose, stanza verse, ballad factual. Shotgun to the Temple, that reminds me of Hemingway. His thick, maybe the people would call convoluted novels prosaic prose at times because he wrote differently. He was the new voice in the 20th century, and he did take his life to Shotgun. The postman reference he hit in there a couple of times, that had me thinking, The Postman Always Rings Twice, a murder movie back in the 40s, and then remake in the 90s, I think it was. I like the thought with the Aztec priest. That almost came across as a plot to a movie script, like an Aztec priest, virgin heart, hand still beating, wet with plot, something you sink your teeth into. What else we got here? I hit that thought with the boozy boss by the last of giant penis, road based and wait, bard of Reading at Her Majesty's leisure. The thought there is boozy bows as alas, being a man dressed, obviously. The Bard of Reading, he was in Reading Prison at Her Majesty's leisure. And I like the next one down was a nice bit of wit, composing sonnet of a serial murderer, whether or not a comma dagger to insert. That's pretty cool. That hits on both ends of that. Do I do it with a comma or do I just stab her? And then again, the tales of the postman, Oscar in prison, sardines can. He's got the rock cracking, hard labor in prison back then. You weren't given a luxury room in the suites, so to speak. You got a 6x8 cell, and you worked for 12 hours out in the yard breaking rocks. What else we got here? Good line, last of Colombian afternoon, cocaine, a can of wine. Oh, bossy, my drunk muse of excess, rats the middle of your shoes, sozzled on prosody, queen knighted. Boy, that kind of hits the thought of long after after death, he finally gets knighted, a bit too late. And the last one, lone thought at its worst to murder this sickert afternoon. Back in 1888, there was some thought that the artist Sickert was Jack the Ripper. He wasn't, but another nice notation in there. I like that.
Wow.
Well, look at
that
you, Greg.
That was very illuminating there, Rex.
It was rife with goodies. I like that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, Rex, you're going to grab something for Kel to read. Fallon, when Kel is done reading, you're going to go straight into commenting. Don't wait for Rex to tell you to comment. Just go straight into it. And Rex, you're going to message Phil and ask her to peek in on your studio to see if anybody's there and that she can pick up, because my internet is not coming back.
Okie dokie. All right. Pieces up. It's Excelsis by Iona Cosma. And let me go find Phil.
Okay. In Excelsis, Iona Cosma. Surplus comes with gifts. The more the merrier. Did the bone erode from Coke, or did it crumble? From bowing to the idols. Oh, from bowing to the idols, to lures like magnum, magnificent nicotine and dreams. Even Oscar Wilde died, he who was a cipher, the never understood purveyor of truth. He knew excess and was modest in his encompassing of all the little angels that grow in the shade of uptooth. From the romantic dawn, we drink big and ballistic. We never cared for the decaying bodies and souls, crushed by the hunger that comes with receptivism, with hands that fumble and piercing eyes, into the heart of darkness, on and on, like a drunken Ulysses who forgot to tie himself to the mast, hearing the siren's call. We drown with Elliot and Pound, excess buried by excess, homelessness by the hubris. And poem.
Okay, I'm supposed to go right into commenting, so I'm commenting. I think that's, you know, the prompt is moderation is a fatal thing. Nothing succeeds like excess. And I think what really that took this thing home is where it says, where'd it go? Crap. Oh, here we go. Who forgot to tie himself into the heart of the darkness, on and on like drunken Ulysses, who forgot to tie himself to the mast, hearing the sirens call, we drown with Elliot and Pound. I think that really takes us home, because basically it's, you know, he forgot to tie stuff in, but yet he's facing the storm or facing whatever, and he too goes underwater as well. But this is a very intellect write, and I think it has a lot of thought provoking to it. And the I love the vocabulary. I think that it's very eye-catching. So great job there.
Nicely said.
Wonderful comments.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
No, I just wasn't sure if you were sending out messages. Okay.
Well, are you back on the pad, or is it still killing you?
No, I am not. I am simply here on
the phone. Okay, we got on the room, man, so that's good. Well, I like this. There's some nice notes in this. Look at that last line of that first stanza. Like magnum, magnificent nicotine and dream. Kind of reference back to the day when Tom Selleck used to be the Mambo Man. He'd be on billboards all over the place before he became Magnum. And then the dream of climbing that ladder, because he was just a postboy at that point. And even Oscar Wilde died, he who was the cipher. the never understood purveyor of truths. He knew excess and was modest and encompassing of all the little angles that grow in the shade of obtuse. There's a nice little sort of how he knew the truth and how shade keeps those truths hidden for a lot of people, but he knew a lot of things. Let's see. And I like that last down the bottom end. Into the heart of darkness, on and on, like a drunken Ulysses who forgot to tie himself to the mast. Hearing the siren's call, we drown with Eliot and Pound. Excess buried by excess. Homelessness for the hubris. Ooh, damn. There's a lot of goodies in here. Nicely done, Iona. Kel, how about you?
I like the very first stanza because that pretty much expounds on the prompt. And I wasn't thinking of Magnum being PI. Yeah, yeah. When you said that, the magnificent nicotine and dreams. Yeah. It just has a lot of references to how our excesses can be detrimental and cause homelessness for the hubris, which is very true, sadly enough. So, very good.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel. How's that pad doing, Pam? You beating it up yet?
You know what? It's not it's not the Kindle Fire itself, because if it was just that, I could shut it down, turn back on, and I'd have my internet back, because that problem's always usually fixed. It's actually that I'm pretty sure the internet is out in the area.
Ah, one of those.
That's not good.
Yeah, yes. Yes. So, unfortunately, not yet. Not yet.
Well, let's see. I should actually grab something, shouldn't I?
I'm next, I think.
Oh, you're next.
I think I'm next.
I should find you something womanly. Or at least something
my name is womanly.
Yeah, that came out wrong.
There ain't nothing womanly about me.
Well, the fire department will tell you that, girl, you have boobs. You got to give yourself credit for that. I mean, that's pretty
true,
womanly.
True. I do have boobs. I do have boobs.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Jerry got on right, and you don't quit spitting. He said, "You don't quit spitting." He goes, "I swear to God, I'm gonna choke you out." And he said, "I hate that."
All right, I've got you.
Oh, Julie Buck, yes.
Yes.
I love Julie Buck. All right, this is
about
Julie Buck. Conflict screaming somewhere. I knew I should have let the day carry me its way. I knew I should have saved some of my yesterdays for today. Pardon me while I do a little resecuting. I know that you swim there in the shallow end, and I'm usually way off in the deep end. Rarely, though, are we ever on the same wave. I understand you think left, and I think right. We accepted that. I know you live there in your self-righteous house, but I live here where we know forgiveness and where no one is better than anyone else. Conflict screaming somewhere, conforming our failures. Why won't you look at me? The eternity blast from the belly. Gently emerges balance, hindsight, and evil. And the burst from he comes in colors. My body is lifted, spirit gifted. Know that breath and sins wait for me. I am standing master of hurts yet to be. And I'm meeting heaven today. Dang, high top sneakers. How I wished I tied my shoes. Change. change would seldom ever happen if I could. Only knows both sides to every bruise. End poem. Ooh, I love what you did that.
Nicely done there, fellow. Thank you very much. And
thank
Julie
you.
Cook, the only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. All right. Kel, why don't we kick it off with you? What do you think?
Oh, I really liked the beginning. You know, let the day carry me away. I knew I should have saved some of my yesterdays for today. Pardon me while I do a little resurrecting. That was very, very interesting. It's also really deep. The eternity blasts from my belly. Gently emerges balance, hindsight, and evil. And the burst from he comes in colors. And wow. This is very, very wonderfully written. Yeah.
Absolutely. You'd like to comment there, Fel? You read it.
Oh, you know I do. I love Julie Buck. I think she was a little conservative on this piece because usually she brings it, like, in hard because she's sassy like me. And she's very clever witted, and she not only has a bit of humor, but she also has that deep punch or that sting that in all of her writing, she will have that something that is food for thought, and she does that here as well. But I think she held back a little bit on her potty mouth that she normally has, because I love the potty mouth that she has, and sometimes she writes, she just puts a certain naughty word in there, and it's just like, whoa. And this here, I mean, I really like her take on the same prompt that I wrote on. She just really nailed it home with her wit and her, it's a Julie Buck piece, without a doubt. Excellent work.
Yeah, you're right. She Rest. Was a little light, but there's still plenty of barbs in here. That there's that pointed finger with a couple of nice little reflections.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you aware that you can actually call on me for commenting? Because you keep skipping me.
Well, I thought I had to wait. Well, okay then. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I just wasn't sure you were aware because you kept skipping me.
Oh. All right. I like to throw up the third line, the third set down. Pardon me while I do a little resurrecting. There's a little... kind of a snide twist in that line itself. I know you swim there in the shallow end, and I'm usually way off in the deep. Another little pointed note, rarely though are we ever on the same wave. And then there's that sort of acceptance. I know you live there in your self-righteous house, but I live here where we know forgiveness. There's a pointed reflection of how some people think they're so pious that they actually make themselves the most unpious people in the world, because they look down the nose and point out, you're the sinner, 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 but doesn't offer up the thought to being of forgiving as being pious. So I like that thought. It was a nice little dig without being too crass. Then the thought, why won't you look at me? Yeah, what are you afraid of? I'm not going to hurt you. And then again, my body is lifted, spirit gifted. Know that the breath and sins wait for me. I am a sainted master of hurts yet to be. And then there's an acknowledgement of both ends of the equation. And then, I'm meeting heaven today. Dang, high top sneakers. Hey, you don't have to be well dressed to get inside. Neither do you have to pay to get in. You just got to live the right life. And that's the thought she's offering up, especially the angle at the bottom end. Change would seldom ever happen if I could only notice both sides of every bruise. And there is. That's a nice, clever thought to understanding both ends of the equation, because they all painted the same way. All right, Pam. Now you get.
All right. Well said there, Rex. I did like that you brought up about pious people, how being so overly pious that they forget that part of it is not looking down your nose at people, but learning how to love and forgive. I know you didn't use the word love, but I felt like that kind of message was in there. And I did like the some of the really nice digs in there that, you know, they weren't too sharp. They really just made a point. Like they, the whole, you know, we're not riding the same wave, or I'm slightly paraphrasing. And the idea that some of the most shallow people are the ones that think they're holier than thou. And I like how she went with like the bit of humor in there, and to make her point, and just an excellent write all the way through, and very well done.
Absolutely. And all right. Who might I be putting up for this time? Who's going to be the next reader?
You.
Me?
Yeah. Why not?
Well,
yeah, it should be you.
Okay.
It'll go you, Felon Kell.
All right. All righty then. I've got I Can Resist Everything Except Temptation by Cruise Liner. Bring me the opulence and not the sparse. Dom Perignon in the fluted gloss. A nice young waiter looked at said, see you later. Not the air that others breathe. Find the filter to self-belief. The cummerbund to stretch and sometimes share. And lick the ice cream on each eclair. And boom. All right, Pam, you get that one first.
Ooh, I like eclairs. All right. Well, now this is my kind of temptation.
You go back to
creamy
the big
filling
again.
Yeah, I'm back to that creamy filling. What can I say? You know what I hone
no,
in on.
No, you didn't.
I thought that was just a delightful brevity. I liked. It's kind of one of those ones that makes you smile because it's so relatable. The idea of, you know, having just the extra helping and not being able to resist it. And I like that this person went with like a slightly less serious tone to theirs. Although I suppose we should take eating too many eclairs seriously, but. You know, I don't know, just it, for some reason it just comes across a little more whimsical when you listen to it, and I liked that, and I thought you did a wonderful read, Rex.
Nice to sit down, thank you. Belle, how about you?
I like the fact, I can totally relate with the cummerbund, having to stretch when out, because I love to eat, so... If I could just eat dessert the whole time, that's what I would do. But you can't. But I like the reason the Dom Perignon in the fluted glass, the nice young waiter, a look that said, see you later. Because he's like, I ain't coming back. This dude is just driving me crazy. He just won't quit eating. He just goes and goes and goes. He's like, but then he says, lick the cream on each eclair. And I think that in order to eat an eclair, you do have to lick the cream on it because there's no other way to do that. I mean, who eats with a fork? I mean, for real. I think you just dive right on in. So I think this is very, I love brevity, of course, and this is just a nice, whimsical and funny tone to Oscar Wilde. Great job.
Oh, absolutely. But the eclairs, no cream. It's got to have that nice, rich custard inside.
No.
And, Kel, how about you?
Oh, I'll take cream or custard. I like both. I want it all. This is a very amusing poem. And it's short and sweet, which I like because it's easy to read. it's got a lot of the prompt in it, you know, resist everything but temptation. You know, bring me it all. I want it all. You know, I'm like, nope, it's all mine. It's all mine. It was good. Very good. I enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, I like the illusion that's sitting in this because of everything he's playing off. He's offering up the moment as him, as Oscar Wilde. Bring you the opulence, not the sparse. Dom Perignon, a nice young waiter. Hey, see you later. And the thought with the creme on the clair and the cummerbund to stretch is a kind of motif. Hey, let's go stretch ourselves outside of the boundaries of right here, right now. Let's dig into each other.
Well said there, Rex. By the way, Rex, how many poems do we have left?
Hang on a sec. I got the next one up to sell, and I'll go check that.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Sal, that one's for you. Admit It by Eurowitz,
okay.
I think.
Oh, okay, Eurowitz, Admit It. Oh, yes, it's my favorite. I don't go out every day. I don't talk to a lot of people. Nobody ever makes me. Ever makes a mistake. Big city, big egos. End poem. All right.
Great read there,
Kellen. Kel, why don't you start? Were you going to comment that, Dan?
I thought you said Kel.
Well, since
I didn't hear what
started,
he said at all.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, Kel can go ahead and comment because all of a sudden my head has blanked out.
Well, I can kind of relate to this because I don't go out every day, and I don't talk very much, especially not to a lot of people. I have my little group. That's about it. Nobody ever makes a mistake. Big city egos. I'm not real sure what to make of that. Nobody.
What does it say? Big city. Something about big city egos?
Big city, big egos.
But it has no, with a hyphen in the body, Pam. Like they split the word instead of nobody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so kind of like a play on words, like, not just a nobody, but that there is nobody to show. Did they take the murder quote?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. They didn't say.
Oh, they didn't say. Okay.
Nuh-uh.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I really like what you had to say, Kel. And I'm glad you said something because all of a sudden my mind had just blanked out at which poem was actually read. But I remember thinking the same thing, that it was really relatable. And, to the idea that, of not hanging out with a lot of people, not knowing a lot of people, and, it kind of actually gives the thought to me of the personality type of a serial killer. But that's just off the top of my head.
Well, I think it's the bite in the virus. Because you got the hyphen between no and body. So nobody ever makes a mistake. Big city, big egos. There's a thought of cover-ups in that. You take it literally, nobody ever makes a mistake, big city, big egos, and then nobody, you hyphenate it, you get the knowledge in there that, nobody in the big city and the big egos is actually owning up to the mistakes they made.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, good. I think that makes sense, right?
And I was going to comment. I think you know that there. It is the arrogance of people who don't want to wear the mask or who don't want to do the social distancing or even take it for what it really is and take it the seriousness of the actual virus in itself. And they think that they're above it and that it's a political retort, and it's not. It's a true virus that is taking lives, and we're trying to gain our hands on it, and yet we have these idiots that just don't take it serious and just keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. So I think this is an excellent, excellent, in-your-face few lines that says so much. So excellent job.
Cool. I've just posted Versus Goliath, and we got a SoundCloud, which Phil is going to push
okay,
the button
Rex,
for us for. Yes.
Rex, we have to
yes.
skip the SoundCloud ones. So.
I just asked, Phil said she could play it.
Oh, okay.
I
never
first.
Told me that you were. Okay, well, you didn't tell me. And how many poems do we have left?
Eight more.
All right. You might want to grab one just in case. But just in case.
Day in the Life by Versus Goliath. Coffee on a cold, tired morning. Sugar, cream, an extra helping. Danish donut, dilemma forming. What to do with habits developing? Delve into another level of games? Waste hours in fantasy, wandering. Afford conversing with unreal dames. On path to Mordor for that one ring. I can resist all things but temptation. It lords over me, ever-present draw. Always on brink, pulled to the station. Whatever made me break the law? Was it inert, nefarious nature emerged? Perhaps. Gold carries weight of guilt, frequented where thieves converge. Kin found, stealthy neighborhood guild. Must end playing, my chores beckon. Maybe first, quick bite to sate hunger. Easily distracted, learn no lesson. Ate far too much, feel like an anchor. Sunk to the bottom of my chair again. Wasn't there something supposed to do? I'll get around to it after poetry penned. And downing whiskey drink. Or two. I can resist all things beside temptation. Shame that everywhere I seem to look, in corporate consumer-driven nation, everything makes me a fish to the hook. End poem.
Oh, great read, Versus. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. Greatly appreciated. And, Phil, why don't we start with you? What do you think about this?
Oh, I love this. Yeah. This is, was the inert, nefarious nature emerged? Perhaps gold carries weight of guilt? Frequent where thieves converge, kin found, stealthy neighborhood guild. Where he speaks of the lack of the ability to be wild and animalistic. You know, I like that. I like that. Just the temptation of, he wasn't even tempted on that, but, you know, you can't resist everything. But it says, must end playing, my chores beckon. Maybe first, quick bite to state hunger. Easily distracted, learn no lesson, ate far too much, feel like an anchor. You know, it's just all these temptations that you do, and you know you got to do things, but yet you still keep going back doing things that you shouldn't be doing, or those things that are nymphs. So, excellent take on the prompt.
Nice. There, Phil. Well, thank you very much. Pam, how about you?
I really like that. First of all, the SoundClouds are really appreciated. I've enjoyed having Versus write more for our After Midnight show and start making recordings. He's got always like really interesting takes on prompts, and I'll just say I think it's an excellent write, and I'll give a slightly deeper comment in writing.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I think he says a lot about, you know, excess and how temptation draws us in, you know, is this, you neglect other things in your life because there's something else that you want to do instead. And that always seems to take the cake, so to speak. I can resist all things. Shame that everywhere I seem to look in corporate consumer-driven nation, everything makes me a fish to the hook. Oh, good God, isn't that the truth? Yeah, you know, we want, and they're more than willing to provide as long as we pay up. Yeah, it's very, very good. I liked it very much.
Yeah, I too. Those last two lines were the draw to the whole thing, because it isn't just about mm-hmm. himself he's offering up. There's some humor here that takes a bite out of everybody. Delve into another level of games. A fourth conversing
right.
with Unreal Games on path to Mordor for that one ring. So there's nice little touches of some dry wit in here. Not right out guffaws, but the things that you can smile at and grin and chuckle. Yeah, I know someone like that. And Fel hit that thought, perhaps gold carries weight of guilt. Freaking the West East converge. Kin found stealth in neighborhood guilt. There's a thought to gangs in that, or at least a gang of roving people. Then the notation, must end playing, my chores beckon. Ah, but something else beckons. Hey, something to eat. Now you've eaten too much. And then again, not forgetting to the chores, I'll have a good stiff drink after that. And then it all just disappears and reality sinks in. Well, nothing's getting done today. Let me move on to something else. Or maybe take a nap. All right. I got the next one for you, Cal.
Okie dokie. I'm ready.
And there you go. It's Friends, How Many of Us Have Them by Truth Jills.
Okay. If I had a dime for every time I heard the line, I told you so. I could retire from unemployment. It never ceases to amaze me how no one warned you beforehand, but are there to point out just where you went wrong in the aftermath. I can take constructive criticism, even a sharp correction when I present a foolish idea. A silent encouragement greets me as if I was presenting the best idea in history. All for one and one for all. It's more like every man, woman for themselves. That's the reality of situations these days. And really, that's okay, because I would rather find out today that regret than regret a decision you helped me make. What is a friend anyway? Believe it? I believe we attract people with similarities. Characteristics that resemble ours, gifts that complement, traits that blend with ours. You would think we could spot a phony from afar. Instead, we draw in the very people we should run from, and the ones that we need around, we automatically dislike because they see the means and the end and call you on whatever justification you use to represent. So for sanity's sake, and not to run and hide in a cave far away from humanity, I choose to be the person I am and not focus on making friends, but by adopting the concept of acquaintances and try to understand so I can be understood. And at the end of the day, it all works out good.
Great read, Cal. Thank you very much. All right, Fallon, what'd you think? Uh-oh, did we do so? Well, we might have. Pam, how about you?
I like that. Was that Truth Jill's poem?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I missed the name, but she has a very recognizable style. I like how it has, well, first of all, Cal, you did a wonderful read of that. I like how she has such a kind of a down-to-earth tidbits of wisdom. And it really seems to be from the point of view of a person who's very, what is it called, empathetic, or you know, very in tune with people's feelings. And so a lot of times, you know, when you're like that, you for some reason you attract the wrong kind of people. You attract people that want to take advantage of people who feel deeply. I liked that she mentioned the quote from the Three Musketeers. And then played off of that with the idea that we don't, that kind of honor you don't see it or hear about as much anymore. It's become very much a world of every man for themselves, every woman and child practically for themselves. And then the idea, I felt like in a way it was talking also about how oftentimes the people that care about us the most and we care about the most, they're the ones that we lash out at. So I just thought it was a wonderful personal write and just very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And she also bites on that, the thought of cliques. We attract people with similar characteristics that resemble ours, gifts of compliment, traits that blend with ours. You would think we could spot us phony from afar. Ah, yes. Then instead we draw in the very people we should run from, and the ones that we need around we automatically dislike because they see the means and the end and call you on whatever justification you used to represent. That's a great thought of how cliques work. And yeah, it's nice to have people around you that agree with you most or even all of the time. But if you don't have that balance of those who are ready to call you out for the stupidity that you offer up in the moment, then you don't have a balance of complexity which can tell you, hey, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because then you're always got that, nice job, pat on the back, and everybody goes on their way, and all of a sudden that swinging ball from the crane comes along and smacks you upside the head. Yo, yeah, that wasn't very smart. Kel, you got to read. How about you? What do you think?
I like the concept of the different friendships, like you say, with the cliques, and some people are there to really be a friend, and others are just there to, you know, tell you what you did wrong, which, in some ways it keeps you balanced, it keeps you focused, hey, don't be afraid to tell me what I'm doing, you don't always want that pat on the back, although that's nice too. I can take constructive criticism, even a sharp correction when I present a foolish idea. But silent encouragement greets me as if I was presenting the best idea in history. As if I'm saying something stupid, tell me. Give me a break, This is really good. I really like the way she pulled all the different aspects of friendship in.
Excellent. Thank you, Kel. All right. Next up, I've got The World is a Stage by Poetic Picasso.
Frank.
The world of today is full of the crowded circus of imitators and the thespian theater of ingrates. 'Tis the evolving world of today where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer by the day. The imitators prostitute their morals to reach fame. The famous prostitute their souls. The kings and men of power rule over their subjects like appointed divine gods of entitlement. They sit upon their self-righteous thrones like sculptured golden statues of Greek mythology to be revered. Heedless philanderers, not heedful philanthropists, selfish hedonism instead of inspiring philosophy. The deliberate crusades of ignorant minds and the creative odyssey of intellectual discoveries. Forsaken enlightenment lost in the pages of dusty books and replaced by the obsession of technology. Disguised clowns masquerading as men of faith and corporate leaders pimping with the cloak and gavel of avidity. A spacious arena of vain demigods and radical pursuivants of apocalyptic illusions demented. Cults of erroneous doctrines inculcated in disciples of the duplicitous Judas propagated. Frivolous dogmas of anthropomorphic superiority and psychedelic aberration of junkies. This is the evident reality of the world of mortality, not the canvas of a utopian artistry. You live one day and you die the other. You are famous one day and you are forgotten the next day. The world is a stage, but the play is badly cast. I much prefer to watch in the auditorium and amuse myself. Creo que absurdum est. End poem. I like that. Pam, would you like to indulge yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, Rex, I have to say, I swear I will never get tired of your voice or your laugh. That was just wonderfully read. And I'm so glad that Frank entered this contest and wrote for the show because, of course, you know, he's got a whole long list of Oscar Wilde. You can tell that he's very inspired by the man. I really like how elegantly this took digs at society in general, at the idea that, you know, so many people put themselves on a pedestal to the point of thinking they are demigods. I also like, I don't know if he specifically used the word cult, but it had that feel of how people are often hypnotized, not physically, but, you know, like often, you know, the thrill. I don't know if it's a thrill, but there's something about the cult-like mentality that draws people in, and I think it's people who can't learn to think for themselves. To me, it was like when pomp and circumstance, that was a word you said earlier, I feel like there's kind of a bit of that tone there. I also feel like, well, like I said, it takes digs at, I'm trying to think of, you know, I keep going back to, like, to religion and church, but, you know, and more like the whole idea of trying to control people's thinking. It was just absolutely fascinating to listen to, and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I found the verse that she was talking about, the cults of erogenous doctrines inculcated in disciples of the duplicitous Judas propagated. So that was in there. Frivolous dogmas of anthropomorphic superiority and psychedelic aberrations of junkies. It's a very deep work, and I agree with Pam. There's a lot about, I'd say, the leaders of society, presidents and big industry, and this pretty much everything is represented in this. Is just very, very amazingly done. To the evolving world of today, where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer by the day. Yes. It's just very deep and very full of various concepts. It's interesting. I really, really enjoyed it. Well done, Frank.
Thank you, Cal. I love the picture he's got of Oscar there. Nicely done. Actually, a color picture, too. Now, the opening, I like that thought. The world of today is full of the crowded circus of imitators and the thespian theater of ingrates. What a great way to open that thought with all the world's a stage, and everybody is on the stage are bad players. And he gets into that. And get that sort of the church, and he's got that in here. Where was it? Disguised clowns masquerading as men of faith. And then corporate leaders pimping with the cloak and gavel of avidity. I like that too. The cloak and gavel also points at the courts and how things are never equal on that end, that end either. The self-righteous thrones. Everybody sits on, like, so they're Greek gods. The heedless philanderers, not heedful philanthropists. Selfish hedonism instead of inspiring philosophy. Well, he bites on everybody in the whole spacious arena. vain demigods that he's sitting on. I too thought that that stands with frivolous dogmas of anthropomorphic superiority and psychedelic aberration junkies was a clever one. But that the bit under that, not the canvas of a utopian artistry, that's definitely not where we are right now. You think with the fact that technology has reached the peak where it is right now, that there would be that much more availability to the thought of more than just the excess drawn in with that venue. It's filled with all manner of reprehensible crap that the kids are getting into these days when they have no business even looking at some of that stuff. And that comes down to the fact that a lot of these platforms, they don't bother putting in the appropriate guidelines, so to speak, and they don't really care to. They want everything out there pounding except what they don't believe in. And I like that thought at the end, creo quia absurdum est. I believe because it is absurd. And everything he's offered up puts at the absurdity of us in the moment. Nicely done, Frank.
Absolutely.
And
well said, Beth, there, Rex.
Did I get you already?
Who are you talking to?
You. Did you already comment?
I did. And you said it was the most brilliant comment you've ever heard. And
wow.
Oh, my God.
And
God,
you
forgot
it.
You're only three of this, Rex.
Right?
Oh, God.
All right. Let's see. Next, we got, come on.
I know Babbler has a piece up that needs a reader, and Theonic has a piece up that has a recording.
Yep, and I just put up one I found. Okay. Kel, this one's for you, Transient Beings by Blossom Rider, and I'll go
right.
Grab something.
Transient Beings. The gods don't know suffrage, failure, or tears, the way we live, not the way Pompeii immortalized death by ash. They imagine the life we know to emphasize what it is to be human inside our minds, existing the lives which transcend changes by experience, feeling emotions going through cycles like seasons turn, but only we have the power to transform where they remain the same. End poem.
Great read, Cal. Thank you. And Pam, how about that? A shorty for you.
I like that one. I like that she brought a mythologic element into it. I like that she brought in Pompeii. That makes for a really great metaphor because of the idea that the sudden heat and the ash and the people being buried really caused, that kind of like sudden change, that sudden transformation. I also like that she went into the idea that gods and gods being mythological or gods representing as a metaphor, people in higher power, don't understand that the people who stand above the ashes, don't understand what it's like to be buried by them. And it's a wonderful brevity. And what I like is that even with entwined within the darkness is this sense of beauty of what an amazing thing it is to be human, to know that you have the power to transform yourself if you just choose to do so. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Well, I thank you, Pam. And Kel, you got to read that. What do you think?
Oh, I'm right there with Pam. That was an awesome comment. Well said. I like the ideology, the mythical gods and the... That was just
really, really amazing how she started this. You know, what it is to be human inside our mind. I literally like this one. Existing the lives which transcend changes by experience. That is just such a powerful line right there. It's just absolutely beautiful. I liked it. I really liked it. It's deep, but it's
Thanks.
Understandable. I like that. That's good.
Thank you, Cal. And she did take when the gods wished to punish us, they answer our prayers. And she took this a very different way because there is that note up top of the gods don't know suffrage, failure, or tears the way we live. Not the way Pompeii immortalized death by ash. That's something that should be a memorized note right there because she offers up the thought down the bottom that only we have the power to transform where they remain the same. They are a living monument to what can happen in a singular cataclysmic moment that they have no power over. And they remain that. The house is pristine. The mosaics, even the wall paintings, the murals on the walls are still there, stuck inside 2,000 years now. And that should be a nice thought to, hey, you know what? You make those efforts to change when you can, because you know what? When it comes down to the end of life, you don't have that opportunity anymore.
That is so true. So true. Well said there. Speaking of God,
right.
I'm pretty sure they're telling me tonight that I either need to go to bed early or do some cleaning because I won't be doing anything else.
Okay, I've got Fake Friends by Longfellow Serenade. Fake friends can be quite treacherous, and they'll betray your trust. They'll often stab you in the back. The blade is often blunt. True friends are frank and earnest. It is honesty or bust. You know that they are true because they'll stab you in the front. You rarely see it coming when disloyal friends betray. They'll lie to you behind a smile while planning to deceive. Though faithful pals may hurt you, they do not see you as prey. They'll always show contrition and won't purposely grieve. If there is any question in your mind if friends are fake, it's best to listen to your gut until they pass the test. Sometimes a caterpillar can turn out to be a snake, but not until you see its fangs, its treason manifest. And Paul, Cal, what did you think about that one?
Wow, I like that. I really, really did. It reminds me of a few people I know. I like this last verse. Sometimes a caterpillar can turn out to be a snake. Oh my goodness, isn't that, wow, that's a really good metaphor. It's just, yeah, it's just really, really well done. I enjoyed it a lot. I can't really say too much more. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kel. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I enjoyed that wonderful rhyme and flow. A great read. And so true. I mean, and I've known both kinds of people, and I will tell you that the true friend that's honest with you, like, you know, you don't want somebody who's mean, but at the same time, my goodness, you really want, you know, somebody who's going to be straightforward with you, who's going to be true. And, you know, I can't say that I have a whole lot of friends, but I feel like the ones I have are like true friends. They're the kinds that there's just, you know, they're there for you. They're honest. And what I like the caterpillar reference because that made me think of, if I believe I remember right, there's actually a kind of caterpillar that, like, you touch it and it gives like this sharp sting. Like it just, like, the pain level is like excruciating. And so it kind of gave me that idea of seeing, because I've seen something like soft and fuzzy and reaching out to touch it and realizing that, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And sometimes you end up in friendships where it's like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but lesson learned and, you know, just an excellent write and very well done.
Well, thank you. There was a nice, easy flow to this. And I like the layout for the rhyming pattern you used. You know, you hit on lines 2 and 4 from each stanza match the previous stanza. So it has a nice ease to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you went from trust and blunt to bust and front, betray and deceive, the praying and the grieve, then fake and test the snake and manifest. So it had a nice, easy thought running through it. But he does hit
like
on that notation between the true and the fake. The fact that a true friend might actually, if you do get stabbed, it'll be in the front, but it won't be, it won't manifest itself as something to bury you. It's that thought that, hey, not gonna agree with you on that one today. You're on your own because you fucked up. You shouldn't have gone down that road, and that's on you. And that's how a true friend will. It is a stab,
absolutely,
so to speak, but it's a stab that makes you look in their eyes and say, okay, yeah, I'll own that one. And maybe say thank you, or maybe you get pissed off at it in the moment, and then somewhere down the line you say, yeah, you're right, I screwed that royally. And I too like that thought with the caterpillar. It turns out to be a snake. The fangs you never see until it's too late. Nicely done there, Longfellow. Thank you. All right, we got time for one more. And, Kel, I've got Tat for you by Babbler.
Sorry,
are you on mute?
I had an asthma attack.
Okay.
Goodness, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just couldn't finish my comment. That's fine. You guys did beautifully. Tats. I've gotten plump on happiness in these warming months. I poked the needle with a threaded thought, stitching rifts and embroidering apologies for a little acid split on a glowing screen. I've sown discord far too often, chatting with those who won't listen, taking a break, baking cookies for church, listening to bird song and laughter of little girls, golden silver strings and a peacock purple lining tucked between Joshua and Judges, goldenrod to hold back my tongue and vermilion crosses across my lips. Take a look at the mask I've made, obscuring flesh and bone, with tats and lace, perfect for hiding the swastikas on my face, while I post kittens and racial slurs on my Facebook page. Man is least himself when he talks in his own person. Give him a mask and he will tell you the truth. And
great read there, Kel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
Right, what a wonderful modern twist to that quote. You know, and taking the mask is not just being a physical mask, but the mask of the internet, of Facebook and other social media, where you can slip in those racial slurs or those things that make you an obviously ugly-hearted person and cover it up with, you know, videos and pictures of cats and other adorable things, you know. I mean, even just listening to it, I'm impressed. So very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kel, you got to read it. What'd you think?
I really, really I liked it. Take a look at the mask I've made of curing flesh and bone with tats and lace. Perfect for hiding the swastikas on my face. Yeah. You know, you can lie to other people, but you can't lie to yourself. You know, and it can be unnervingly easy to lie to other people. I had one not too long ago called catfishing. You know, it's basically the same thing. You know, people use you. You know, you don't know who you're talking to. You know, even right now, I don't know who you guys are. You don't know who I am. Unless we're willing to show ourselves for who we really are. And we try to do that through our work, through our
I'm actually
our
a 65-year-old man, just so you know.
Wow. Who loves big penises?
Well, turn that around and... No, I'm not... No, never mind. I'm 57.
You had that one coming. I've been waiting for that all night long.
Yeah, it was an excellently written poem. Goldenrod to hold back my tongue. Yeah, I like that. Just the metaphors are amazing. But I like Babbler's work, too. So it's very good. Very, very good.
This is this is probably my favorite piece I've read of Babbler so far. This is a quite clever and in-depth arrangement of how one hides its what bits behind the mask of a different name as well as a fake profile pic or just an average-looking oddball picture. It doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not them, and how they hide behind that and get away with blue bloody murder, so to speak, as they just riffle through whatever pages they get into and put up the most beastly and ghastly things. And yet, you get this thought right in the middle. I've sown discord far too often, chatting with those who won't listen. I'm taking a break, baking cookies for church, listening to birdsong and laughter of little girls. And then you couple that with the thought in the last end, perfect for hiding the swastikas on my face while I post kittens and racial slurs on my Facebook page. And there couldn't be a farther split from those both identities. Yet, it does walk that way sometimes when you're that supremely... on the back end of hypocrisy in yourself and how you depict, you're that prejudiced, no matter what it is about, that you can be, go to church and then offer yourself up with the swastikas and the overburden oneself, just running that stuff on a Facebook page. That's such a grand scape of a thought between the reality on as to the face you place by going to church. And that's the fake angle. Oh,
absolutely.
And we're at the back end. We're at the back end of the show. So great show, Pam. Thank you very much. And Kel and Fel, thank you for coming on board to help out, do a read and comment. We appreciate it. And we'll have a couple of carryovers for the next show. And we'll see you next Tuesday morning. Thank you, everybody.
Great show, Rex. Good night, everyone.
Very nice. Good night, Pam.
Good night, Kel. And good night, Fallon. Thank you to both of you for calling in.
No worries.
Oh, I thought you...